806 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Lundi Gras, which always sounds better than Fat Monday edition of the show. Glad to have you here. And over this hour, at least for a half hour here, we're going to get to talk to former Senator and a candidate for Senate again, Jeff Sessions, in studio. Did you come in to see anything? You get to go out to any parade? And this is something you don't get to do when you're campaigning, right? Go out and go see parades.
Well, it would have been fun. I got in Saturday night home here, and but I didn't make it to a parade. No.
Okay. Well, it's excusable at this point because I know, yeah, a little bit busy here as we celebrate Fat Tuesday tomorrow, just a week out from Super Tuesday. Obviously, the cliche is here. It's really crunch time now, Senator. It's really, of course it is. Of course it is. It's a busy pace going forward. What do you do? As you try to decide, just doing this over the years, you only have so many days left. You have to allocate your time, your resources, your time. How do you make, is it a triage list? Is it like a military mission? How do you decide what you're doing?
It is takes a lot of work and effort to think about how to reach the most people in the most effective way. The primary election is a week from tomorrow. I'm saying to my friends here in Mobile and my neighbors, I need you tomorrow. A week from tomorrow. And we need your vote. We ask you to go out and cast that vote. There are big issues at stake. I've done my best over the years, and I think effectively, to represent our values. I am ready to go back. I have not changed. In fact, I'm more charged up than ever. I see the opportunities we have now to end the illegality at the border, to stand up to China and fix our trade problems that are just unacceptable. President Trump gets it. He's leading on that. He needs Congress to help him, and judges and taxes and regulations and more American energy. All those things are out there that I've been engaged in over the years. And so I'm asking people to be alert. The election's coming.
Right.
Would love to have your support.
What do you think about that turnout? I mean, I think it's going to be good with it being on a presidential cycle. You think the turnout's going to be, I mean, better than, well, we've seen some years when it was in the teens or the low 20%. I think it's got to be much higher than that.
I think it would be higher than that. And people are beginning to pay attention. It's come up pretty fast for most people. Mm-hmm. They haven't been focused. Christmas and New Year's have all been out there. President's Day and other things are happening. But I think people are beginning to focus on the real choices at stake. Who can do the best job of protecting Austal, Airbus, the old the steel plants and the Coast Guard that I hear that I've worked for years to work to support and strengthen, plus who will advocate effectively our values on the national stage. A lot of people are going to be watching this election. They're going to wonder if Alabama still stands firm for a lawful system of immigration, still stands firm against excessive government spending, still stand with President Trump on trade. These will be big issues for the whole country will be watching.
You know, you mentioned, let's talk about Airbus for a second, and Austal, the kind of different Austal with the military program, obviously Airbus in the private sector, but both are companies that are based outside the United States. But with, you know, we hear the tariffs, and I worried the worst, to be frank with you, when these tariffs, I said, what will this do to these companies here? And with last week, the announcement of the exceptions here for Airbus and their build, do you see a system where the pressure of tariffs or evening out the trade, well, instead of just having the assembly facility here, do you see the way American companies went to Ireland and offshore and other places? Do you see the inverse happening with some of these companies, whether they be from Europe or somewhere or Australia, deciding, well, we're going to move it stateside because that's where the business is?
Well, they're making money here. Mm-hmm. Companies that are investing in America are making money. We've got good American workers. They work hard. They're more productive than European workers, and we ought to be winning. One reason we're not winning is because they're unfairly trading with us. this is what it's all about. We're not against, I am totally supporting Airbus's investment here, mm-hmm. and Austals and Hyundais and
right.
Hondas and Toyotas
Mercedes.
And all,
yes.
These things are fabulous. I've worked for all of those projects. I've been a great ally of Airbus and Austal. I had my hands on both of them at the very beginning. We won the Airbus mm-hmm. tanker contract when President Bush was president, and they took it back through some sort of machinations that we don't have time to discuss.
Well, I was going to say, can I book a time sometime for you to explain how that all happened when we had the better tanker project here and we lost it?
Absolutely.
Because that was...
I can tell you the story about it. And it was not good. It was wrong. The military did not get the best aircraft, in my opinion. Not my opinion. It's a fact.
They did not.
But the Obama administration and got in with the unions and Boeing and others, whatever. It was not a good thing. But back to what I want to say to you about tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
When you are dealing with a country like China,
okay.
that's not treating you fairly, this blocks our shipping of our products to China and our ag products and our manufactured products. When they block them, when they say you've got to give them our trade secrets, our manufacturing secrets, when they say you've got to have half the company owned by China,
and when you say China, this is what makes people understand, not just Chinese investors. When you say China, the government
absolutely.
Owns-
many of these companies are owned by the Chinese government, and the others are being supported by the Chinese government. And so it is not fair. And we've allowed this to continue for decades. President Trump said NAFTA wasn't fair. It's going to end. It was a terrible deal. And he's made us, he ended it. Nobody thought that possible.
Right.
And he's made it better. Now we're focused on China. The first interim agreement is very favorable to mm-hmm. us. But how do you force them to the table, Sean? They will not come to the table. They will not change until they're forced to change. You have to understand that. So how do you force them to change? You are going to drop bombs on them?
I hope
that
not.
That doesn't make sense. Tariffs is the tool we've always used. The world has always used. Tariffs are worldwide. We'd like to see tariffs all go away eventually,
mm-hmm.
and we have free trade, but that is not the reality that we're dealing with. Our partners are not free traders. They
are mercantilists. By definition, they're not. I mean, it's not like they're just acting a different way right now. They're not. And that's one of the things I worry about, too. I mean, love our republic, love our system, don't want any other different system, but we're dealing in four-year windows in the executive branch, right? And hopefully re-election 8-year. The Chinese, their short-term plans are 5- and 10-year plans, right? I mean, 25, they play a long game.
Well, you're so right. And that's why you've got to be strong and stick together, because China will push back and they will block products that we want to sell to them, thinking politically the president will have his legs undercut,
right.
and he'll give in and they can break him from standing up to them. This cannot happen. We've got to stand with the president. They have to have our market more than we need their market. And let me just be frank. Tommy Tuberville absolutely said he thought President Trump was wrong on China, that he is 100% free trader, that he does not believe in tariffs. He does not understand what's happened. That's the old free market Wall Street idea.
Mm-hmm.
The trading deficits don't matter, but they do. When you're buying products that are manufactured in China, their workers are being paid. They close a factory in the United States, we lay off our workers. Maybe they go on welfare. Maybe they retire with much less income than they would have had otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to protect your manufacturing base, both for our workers. It's a big reason wages hadn't gone up in 20 years is closing of our factories.
Sure.
And the other thing you need to do is remember that if you don't have a manufacturing base, you are strategically vulnerable to countries like China who want to achieve strategic power globally.
Now, what do you say? I mean, you mentioned Tommy Tuberville, and some people will say, well, I like the idea of bringing somebody brand new into Washington. You know that former Senator Sessions, AG Sessions, spent all this time in Washington. Therefore, that's a negative. That's a negative, and having no experience is a positive.
Well, look, you can bring in a new person. We do that all the time. But there's a lot of them in Washington I wish could be sent home and a new person put in. But what I would say to my people right here in Mobile, my hometown, I did not fail you. I did not get bought off by the establishment in Wall Street or in Washington. I was able to stand up and did, in fact, stand up even to Republican leadership when I thought they were wrong. And I have won. I'm on the people's side. The people in Washington know it. They know where I stand. And I would ask, I would say to the people of Alabama that give me a chance. We have a possible, we have an opportunity to have some victories for the average working person. That's what Donald Trump was talking to. I traveled with him in these rallies all over the country. I would introduce him at these rallies. I flew on the plane with him. We talked about it. It was stunning to see the people there. They thought, finally, somebody cared about them for a change and was saying things that might make their life better. And in fact, wages have gone up above inflation for the first time in 20 years under President Trump's leadership. African Americans are doing better. Hispanics are doing better. Poor people are doing better. The whole country is growing to an extraordinary degree, and much of I think it's directly related to his policies.
All right, can you hang on through the news break? Coming right back, more with Jeff Sessions here on Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. Grab some of your calls or some of your texts at 343-0106 with your questions, and we'll get those asked when we come back. Continue our conversation right here on Mobile Mornings with a former senator and a candidate for the Republican primary for Senate, Jeff Sessions, Mobilian back home for a day or so before back out. I mean, you do. You have to decide that with just a week left after tomorrow, you can't, cliche, second cliche, you can't be everywhere. Jeff,
oh, that's right. I mean, so I was in Auburn Saturday, going to Tuscaloosa today. I'm pleased that we'll have a great event there, and one of the hosts is Paul Bryant Jr.
So pretty good host when you're in T-Town. Yes.
And we're doing well in Tuscaloosa, and then we're going to Birmingham, then to Huntsville, and back to Montgomery. I won't get home until Monday night.
Wow.
It'll be 8 days on the road.
It's a busy schedule, obviously.
But it's fun, and it's exciting, but I really feel like it's so important for me to say, you've asked me about experience. This is what I would say to the people. Did the person gain experience and use that to advance the things you believe in? Did they use the knowledge and skills that they've learned, and do they fight for the things you believe in and you think will help Alabama? I hope and believe I did. I think that's why people liked me. And I'm the same person we were before. We're going to work exceedingly hard in the United States Senate. I believe in the values of Alabamians. It's not something I fake. I grew up in the dirt of this state, educated in this state. My children educated right here in Mobile. We know this state, and I truly believe that we can make a positive contribution to Alabama's interest, working with Senator Shelby and our congressional delegation. I believe I can make a contribution to the national interest, as we have a window of opportunity to help President Trump do many things, keep the judges flowing and all those things. But
that's been a huge success.
Yeah, two big ones. Big ones are trade and immigration. If we stay with him and he successfully ends this illegality and successfully renegotiates agreements with China that protects American manufacturing and jobs, it will be a great thing indeed.
Well, I said this time and time again to you, and I'm going to just set you up for it. You can comment or not. And I say it because you used to be on this show as a guest quite often, talking with me as a senator and then I'd watch you on cable news networks from the Rotunda speaking, and the ideas that are coming to fruition now that we're discussing for President Trump, you talked about those, I know, for 8 years. It's probably even before that, but I remember seeing it just steadily for 8 years.
It is so exciting. I remember when I fought this last big disastrous trade deal, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, TPP, what that would have done and created 12 nations, have a group like the European Union. Each country gets one vote, the Sultan of Brunei, yeah, Malaysia, yeah, all of that. I fought that. You know how many Republican senators voted with me against it? Senator Shelby, Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, and Susan Collins.
That's it.
It passed. Paul Ryan was leading the fight in the House, the Republican Speaker of the House, and it was on, we heard it, we exposed it. I went into the basement and showed the problems with it. Donald Trump came on, this was before I endorsed him, yep. He said, this is terrible, it'll never pass, I'll never allow it to happen, and it sank like a rock, and that's when I first realized this man has got power. He understands. He defends the sovereignty of America. We're not going to turn our sovereignty over to the Sultan of Brunei. Give me a break.
Well, even outside the Sultan of Brunei, to be in a situation where, like you start off this discussion about China, I expect the Chinese to try to get their own best interests done, and the Sultan of Brunei and somebody in Europe. I expect that. That's a normal thing. But what would surprise me is, like when you first brought up TPP, that we wouldn't do the same thing. We Americans.
That is exactly what President Trump said, if you remember. He said, I don't hate these countries. They're just negotiating smartly for their interest. Who's negotiating for our interest?
But
what's
that's
going
a normal,
on here?
That should be the normal thing.
Exactly.
Even if we're trying to decide, you know, I'm trying to buy a 10-speed bicycle from you. You've got an interest to get as much money for that 10-speed, and I have interest to try to buy it for less. I mean, it's basically both parties are negotiating from a place of trying to benefit themselves. That's normal. That makes sense to people. When you hear a policy that seems to hamstring us coming out of our side, it's worrisome. Because, I mean, most people sleep at night thinking, well, y'all got it handled in the Senate. Y'all got it handled in the House. Y'all got it handled in the White House. I got to be a butcher, baker, candlestick maker. Y'all do that.
Look, that's right. The average American should be able to go to bed at night knowing that their elected representatives are protecting their interest. Donald Trump was right. They had not been doing that. They have taken the view that trade deficits don't even matter. Trade deficits mean you lost jobs and your trading partner gained jobs. That's mm-hmm. what it means, among other things. And this has been going on for 20, 30 years.
So
Republicans have bought into an extreme religious free trade agenda. The Democrats are all into globalism and signing treaties all over the world and containing the United States' strength. This is President Trump is exactly right on where he stands on this issue, and you have to use tariffs. That's the only thing you've got. Every country uses tariffs. It provides the leverage. China cannot survive without the American market economically. They have to sell here. We don't have to buy from China. President Trump understands that. He and I talked about it more than once on the airplane, traveling to events. He understands that he's got the leverage, and the only thing that could go wrong is if we don't support him when China starts pushing back. But after a while, China will sign an agreement that's going to be far better than what we have today.
And looking forward to that. I think a lot of Americans are. All right, Dave, just a minute left here. So, once again, like you started off, you said, hey, we're a week out tomorrow from Super Tuesday. You're imploring people to get out and vote.
Absolutely. I'm urging people to get out and vote. I would love and need and ask for the support of the people in my hometown and area. I've served this area well, I believe, with integrity, with hard work, mastering the details of our own special economic interests, which is a big, big part of what a senator does. And in addition to that, I have represented our values on the world stage. and defended them, I think, with integrity and effectiveness, and won battles. We've won immigration battle. We've won the trade battle. I also played a key role in exposing the size of our deficits when I was a leader. We've also won the battle intellectually, I think, for judges. And President Trump needs support in that area, too.
As always, thank you for your time, and we'll see you again a week from today at the polls.
Thank you. Thank you, Sean.
837 FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings, Lundy Graw style. And it's time to head to McConnell Automotive, where we'll talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Happy Mardi Gras.
Hey, happy.
These trucks are leaving again. They pulled the floral parade this afternoon, and they're looking good. They are looking sharp. They look great all weekend.
Yeah, they have. And anyone who's been out there at the parades and might have seen one of these awesome-looking McConnell trucks, they have the opportunity to get them, right?
Oh, yeah, they got the opportunity. In fact, we saw one Saturday. A guy came in and bought one from Gump, so I had to put another one out there and get it stickered up, make it look great. And we're going to have just a great Mardi Gras. Looks like the weather's going to cooperate a little bit for tonight. They're going to be pulling the IM, so y'all check those out. Everybody be careful out there if it's raining. This streets will be wet. Don't forget, we got a great body shop. So come check us out at McConnellAutomotive.com or give us a call at 251-476-4141.
All right. Thank you, Louis.
Thanks.
That's Louis Arata. You'll find him and the crew at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street just east of I-65.
Right, 838, and our phone number, 343-0106, 343-0106. A big thank you, Jeff Sessions, stopping by and seeing us. Of course, you'll hear more from the candidates tomorrow on what we're calling Super Fat Tuesday.
Super Fat, and that's like Fat Tuesday, F-A-T, not Super P-H-A-T.
And it's S-U-P-A apostrophe.
Yeah, Super Fat.
Super Fat Tuesday. So tomorrow, obviously, Fat Tuesday, but a week out from Super Tuesday. So we're putting together interviews, like the interview we had with Jeff Sessions. We have those. We have clips from some of the debates. So AL1 Republican side. We had the AL1 Democrat debate as well on the radio station. Interviews with candidates. You'll be able to hear like a montage of some of those tomorrow, and then you can listen to all of it if you'll go to our podcast page and you go to fmtalk1065.com, click the link for podcast, and you can go a la carte and search those interviews there. Or if you subscribe at iTunes, if you're an Apple person, or Stitcher on your Android, they're there. They're also TuneIn Radio, Deezer,
Spotify. So I'm thinking if you've got a playlist for Mardi Gras loaded up in your Spotify player, and you're tailgating today or tomorrow, getting ready for the boom boom. Mm-hmm. Why not go ahead and turn on one of the interviews?
Nothing says a party right there in Bienville Square like firing up some of our political interviews. I agree.
That's what I'm thinking. So you can listen to interviews with any of the candidates for the AL1 GOP primary or the Senate candidates. Just load it up and throw something on the grill and let's do a good interview on your way to the Mardi Gras.
Yeah, it's good to have a couple minutes to talk with Jeff Sessions before we start the interview, because I was asking about, we mentioned the story this morning, because over the weekend the word out was that there was going to be a transfer of people off that Diamond Princess cruise ship that had been infected with the coronavirus. They were going to bring those people to a FEMA facility in Anniston, right, Anniston, Alabama. And then you heard that Senator Shelby stepped in. He tweeted, he said, I just got off the phone with the president. He told me his administration will not be sending any victims from the coronavirus from the Diamond Princess cruise ship to Anniston, Alabama. Then Governor Ivey commented, and Congressman Mike Rogers commented on it as well, that they had talked to people with the president or the administration and called that off. But I was asking how that happens, because do you remember when during the Obama administration we had the idea that they were going to move people that were, they had detained on the border, remember? And legal, they were going to bring them to, one of the fields in near Silver Hill and in Baldwin County. And I was trying to figure out how that happened. Do they go, oh, I'm going to put something specifically at this place or that place? Or is it a list of available places? And it sounds like talking to any of you, have somebody that is doing it as long as former Senator, Sessions. He said, okay, yeah, it works this way. There are lists of available facilities that can do this thing or that thing. And then So you, we have places in the state that may be on some list, but that's the job of your senator, the job of your representatives to push back if and say, for these reasons, we don't need to have this here. But there's like, I guess there's files, you know, that show, okay, if you have this kind of situation, you need to house or quarantine, or this, you have immigrants, you know, illegal immigrants or whatever, that you need to house, or you have this thing available, this thing, because you have federal property that has, does it have, you know, does it have housing on it? Does it have a warehouse? You know, those kind of things.
Yeah, and they've already got these mapped out, which is what you want your government to do.
No, that's good.
You want them to
go
ahead and plan ahead,
yes.
You know, in case if something catastrophic were to happen, like where you don't have time to make a plan, you need to already have a plan in place. But this was such big news that it actually made the top story in the top headlines for USA Today. And it seems like they're almost calling our state out in this article. They said,
what?
The headline is, "Not in my backyard. Alabama balks at plan to house coronavirus patients as global death toll tops 2,600. Now, it's not an opinion piece, although the headline sounds,
it sure sounds
opinion-y,
like,
yes, a little bit.
Opinion-esque.
Yeah, throwing a little shade there, as the kids say. But they do, in that article, mention that, that because it's a FEMA, the FEMA Center for Domestic Preparedness in Anniston, that it's got unique facilities, they say, that caused it to be on that list of facilities where they could house some of these and quarantine some of these coronavirus patients. Of course, they've already got a lot of quarantines, but they have quarantined some people in Texas Colorado, and California. But we were next on that list, and obviously some pushback from our representatives helped keep that from happening. But now I wonder, are they just going to send them the Princess Diamond quarantine passengers? Are they going to send them to some of these other bases that already have people, or will another state get this? You know, for the president, you know, in a reelection year, I wonder just the political effect of where some of these quarantine passengers may end up. Does he pick like a pretty blue state?
Well, you want, I don't know that it comes.
You would hope not.
That they don't have time to do it. You're right, though. I mean, you could think that, okay, if you're looking at where to put these folks, are you thinking about the general election in November ahead? I don't know. I mean, maybe somebody on down the line, but I wouldn't imagine that the commander-in-chief, the president of the United States, would have time to...
No, pick and choose. I don't think so either.
I get what you're saying. You could use it as like, oh, there's a politically expedient, a bludgeoning tool there. I just don't think they have time to stop and say, out of all the things, can you only imagine all the things going on this year? I'll tell you what we want to do. We want to make sure we put more of those people in the state where I don't have a chance of getting any votes.
Uh-huh.
But then, see, Texas is part of that mix.
It is.
And Colorado is not a blue state. Colorado is a purple state. Colorado is fascinating when it comes to their politics in that state. It's a really interesting state because there's some things there that are very liberal. But it's not just one of those places that has enclaves. Like we had the story the other day, people in eastern Oregon wanted to secede and become part of Idaho. Mm-hmm. These couple of counties there that were so different than the politics in western Oregon. But Colorado, what I saw, it's not that it's just Denver liberal or just Boulder. They have like a mix of like the same people. Instead of being purple, being so many Republicans, so many Democrats, they have a lot of people that are kind of independently minded. Like they got legalized, you know, marijuana. At the same time, you don't mess with Second Amendment rights in Colorado.
Right.
They have, you know, they had a different kind of mix when it comes to social programs versus fiscal conservatism. And I know there are probably other states like it. It's just one I've been to recently that kind of shows itself to be a real purple state.
Pilots and potheads, Colorado. Lots of pilots, lots of potheads.
Yes, you're right. Hopefully the twain shan't meet. All right, let's go to Mike in Foley. He's up first. Hey, Mike.
Whoa.
Hey, Mike, yeah, turn your radio down.
Whoa. All right. I think he might be having a conversation in a drive-through window, maybe.
Must be. Turn your radio down if you're not being told that when you go through the screening process. I will tell you, okay?
Turn it down.
Turn your radio down because it makes a loop, and it goes in this big loop, and then everybody, number one, gets dizzy listening to that, and you can't understand when we're coming to you. So just a word to the wise. Turn your radio down. All right. I'll tell you what, we'll hit the big reset button here and come back for more of this Lundy Grand edition of Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5.
another Ron Key exclusive.
Mobile, put your hands together with me, Mobile. Jukebox Brass Band, let's go. Hey.
You know, I think I could adjust my alarm clock instead of that to brass, whether Jukebox Brass Band or Bay City Brass or Excelsior, to just have brass. I would be in a better mood every day if I had brass band music wake me up.
Get going. Just wake up with the brass. You can't be in a bad mood when you wake up to that, right?
I don't think so. The problem is I would be doing a little too much partying with my breakfast cereal. I don't know how that would work exactly. But, all right. Speaking of what goes on back at my house, it's coming up Ash Wednesday. That means that on Wednesday, that's when the maids come to our place and put things right again in our world. I've talked to you about the maids. I'm referring to you to give them a call. Give them a call right now. 344-6626. Even if you want to set the appointment for after Fat Tuesday, I get it, for them to come by and check out your home, give you that free estimate. You can call them right now at 344-6626 and give yourself the gift of clean and the gift of time. What that means to me, means to us at our house, is you come in, you have a house that's clean, smells great, clean from baseboards, a ceiling fan, everything in between, and that time that you used to spend vacuuming, mopping, running the little not plug-in vacuum cleaner, the you run back and forth to try to get the paper scraps up and all that. Those hours, those minutes are back in your day, and you have a beautiful house to show for it. The maids can come with their four-person team like they use at our house and get things done, from cleaning things, making them look better, to making them healthier as they're running those HEPA filtration vacuum cleaners that capture up to 99% of all dust, allergens, bacteria, pollen, pet dander, and other pollutants in your home. You got to take the first step, though, and give them a call and get that free estimate. Once again, 344-6626 for the maids, 344-6626 for the maids. You can just Google the maids from Mobile and Baldwin County. You'll probably see that number, but if you have a chance to write it down right now, 344-6626 for the maids. Get that free estimate now. All right, date 54, and by the way, tomorrow, once again, Super Fat Tuesday going on here at FM Talk 106.5 as we get different clips of interviews and debate and all that good stuff to help get you ready for a week from tomorrow for the big primary here in Alabama. One of the side discussions that's happening between Tommy Tuberville, Bradley Byrne, Jeff Sessions, of course, the three at the top of any poll you look at for the Senate race. There are others in that, but those are the three top ones. I would say the one of the big questions that has come up, at least about Tommy Tuberville, is where does he live? And I want to, so let's disambiguate this, because the other question everybody's asking statewide is, well, Bama fans vote for him? Okay, well, we could talk about that on a show later this week. But the residency thing, I this is one of those things I think is a political tool. I don't think this, people say, oh, well, that's going to prevent him from being senator. It's not, because if you remember, when as a stunt, I think, Representative Gates, Matt Gates, right, out of Northwest Florida, said he was going to put his name in the hat and run for Senate here, too. Remember that?
That was like short-lived.
A 2 or 3 day thing. And people say, how did they do that? That's not possible. Well, we got Secretary of State John Merrill on the phone and asked him that question. And he said, indeed, he can. You just have to take residence by the time you would be.
By the time you'd be served, inauguration,
you would have to, I think it's like 20 something days before inauguration, you'd have to be your full-time residence there. So this question of Tommy Tuberville, is he really a Florida resident? Has he even voted in Alabama as of late? Those questions, I think, are good political tools if you're out there and you're battling on the campaign trail and you're saying, who's more Alabama? Who's more in touch with Alabama? I think those are completely fair things to bounce around as you're fighting back and forth in this campaign. Is it this big, people think, oh, they've got Tommy Tuberville, he's not going to be allowed to be senator because he lived in Florida. No, that's not true. So once again, is it probably politically uncomfortable for Tommy Tuberville? Sure. Is it an undoing of his campaign, or undoing if he would win that he couldn't be our senator? No, it's not.
Well, there was an article. Remember, he also tested the waters. Tuberville did for governor
a
few years ago. And back then,
indeed,
an article came out, and it was from TrackEmTigers.com, so an Auburn fan site. And they were saying that even when he moved to coach at Texas Tech after his coaching career ended at Auburn, he kept a house on Lake Martin. So I don't know if he still has that home. I don't know the specifics of where his residency is listed or where he's registered to vote. But, you know, if you ask the majority of people who are going to come out and vote on Tuesday, I imagine that's not even a factor in their minds, that most would assume that he's from Alabama and even lives in Auburn, with that Auburn Tigers kind of name attached so closely to Tuberville.
You could have a residence and not be... Where do you claim homestead?
Right.
And that's always the thing, right? Where do you claim homestead? You could have... Some of these folks have... I'm not saying Tommy Tuberville, but some people have homes in all kind of states,
right,
and different places and all that. That's what we all aspire to. I'd love to be able to do that. But you only can claim one homestead. And so where do you claim that? But once again, John Merrill told us way back when Matt Gaetz said that, that you could technically still be the senator. I mean, and Matt Gaetz, he's a Florida resident. He's an elected representative in Northwest Florida. And I think it was a stunt back then. But John Merrill said, yeah, he could, in the time from getting elected to the time of taking office, switch, and he would have to be a full-time resident in the state of Alabama by then. But you can run for office even when you're not a full-time resident of that state. Strange deal. Mm-hmm. It's just the rules of the game. Once again, it doesn't mean you like it, dislike it. It just means it's right.
Yeah, and I'm glad you reconfirmed that Gaetz did that, because I was having that conversation with someone the other day and couldn't remember if I was having a dream or not, but I thought I remembered that Gaetz said he was going to jump into a race.
Yep. Oh, yeah. It was Alabama Senate, and it lasted for like 3 days.
Yeah.
And he went back to doing his stuff for the House of Representatives for Florida. All right. Mike Gallagher Show on the way next. Y'all have a safe Lundi Gras out there. Check us out online, fmtalk1065.com.